Today on Real Radio.
The discipline of distraction is probably personified in a portion of Scripture, Luke chapter 10, that is very famous to us. And it's famous, it's funny, it's also convicting. Why? Because it's funny, we can relate, it's convicting because she's a little bit of us, or maybe a lot of us.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Disciplines of Life, a collection of studies that examines and applies scriptural principles to our lives as true disciples of Jesus. The tyranny of the urgent is a phrase that describes those day-to-day, minute-by-minute tasks that must be completed but can easily distract from the weightier matters of life, not the least of which include cultivating our relationship with our Redeemer. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses in this presentation called The Discipline of Distraction.
Are you ever distracted? If you say, well, no, I'm never distracted. Well, I tell you what, start praying, start reading your Bible, or become a Christian, and you will get distracted. It's pretty amazing. But Matthew chapter 28 is our theme verse. Verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, that's a command, and make disciples. That's part of what's going on here in this series, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. That's also what's going on here and on Sundays and whenever we come together, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then now turn a little bit to the right to Luke chapter 10. The discipline of distraction is probably personified in a portion of Scripture, Luke chapter 10, that is very famous to us. And it's famous, it's funny, it's also convicting. Why? Because it's funny, we can relate, it's convicting because she's a little bit of us, or maybe a lot of us. I'm talking about Martha. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, it says, now it happened as they went and entered into this certain village, a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Verse 40, but Martha was, what? Distracted with much serving. And she approached him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Wow. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Notice he had to say her name twice. You could just see her face. She's got her apron on. She's got flour across her face. You could have heard the pots clanging back in the kitchen. She's got, chocolate syrup on her shoulder. She's got everything going on. She's the busy cook. And apparently Jesus is there in the house. And Mary is just sitting, listening to Jesus speak. And you can probably hear the pots clanging harder and harder and harder as the day wore on. And all of a sudden she had had enough. And she comes out to the living room or wherever that is and says to Jesus, hey, don't you care? And she wipes her brow. Don't you care that I'm doing all the cooking myself alone while Mary just sits here? She tells God in human flesh, sitting in her living room, tell her to help me. How can you come to that point? It's very easy. We do it all the time. Distraction gets the best of us, and then things begin to happen in our lives, and words come out, actions come out, attitudes are displayed. There's no doubt about it. For the real Christian, for the Bible-based, Spirit-filled Christian, a Christian engaged in our world, in the culture, in the church, the enemy will attack. Martha was under attack. But at her expense, we get to learn a great lesson. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 10, for all of us here tonight, it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, trickery, the plots and plans of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, says the Bible. There's no doubt about it. The Bible teaches that the Christian is at war against evil in this world. And sometimes that war that the Christian wars against will surface in the physical realm. But the Bible tells us that those policies and plots and attitudes are often demonically driven. And we don't often think that way. But what might be the worst thing of all for us is that the most constant of all attack, I believe, a sustained attack, a repeated attack by the enemy in our lives as Christians, is this thing called distraction. Distraction really absolutely can kill us in a sense spiritually. And so tonight, as we look at this, I want you to be one who is constantly asking yourself these questions tonight. How does distraction affect my life? Because each and every one of us will be and are suffering from distractions, plural. Especially now, maybe more than ever, with the way the world is going. And part of that whole thing, distractions can lead to you questioning your faith if not handled right. But also distractions, if managed correctly, can lead you to a stronger faith. It's what you do with them. So the discipline of distraction, tonight we look at this, number one, is identifying the distractions. Will you jot that down? The number one thing is I want to be able to identify the distractions in my life. And one of the things that we need to do is this. What are those things that tug at us? Will you write that down? When we want to identify the distractions in our life, we want to ask this question. What are the things that tug on me, that tug on you, that have this effect on our life? In Martha's case, what was tugging on her was, the Bible says, many things. Jesus said, Martha, you are distracted, encumbered by many things. But Martha, listen, church, here's the thing about distractions. Many distractions you and I sanction. We not only allow them, we'll defend them. Don't you think Martha would have said, okay, sure, Jesus, fine, you just sit there. And we won't eat anything tonight. You ever heard that before? Or that kind of stuff? Oh, sure, kids. You know, you don't want me to do this and do that? Well, then there'll be no vacation. Where does that come from? Distractions, pressures build up, things come out of our mouth. And so, what tugs on us, in Martha's case, many things. Jesus looked into her soul, and he saw this probably very A-type personality. She's probably the older sister. She's strong, and she is very practical. You can tell. We don't know much about her, but we know that she's very practical. Mary probably was one that said, I just think it's going to be a wonderful day. And Martha would say, you know what? Do you want to know why it's going to be a wonderful day? Because you're going to sit there and enjoy yourself while I do everything around here. You know that's true because they're sisters, and I have two daughters who are sisters, and how could they be absolute? They came from the same place, from the same people. My wife and I made them. But how could two people who came from the same place be so different? Hey, they're sisters. And so this whole thing is going. The Bible tells us there in verse 40 that she's distracted. She is at her end emotionally. The word distracted here, and what tugs on Martha, is it what tugs on you? The word distracted means, listen to this, it means to be dragged around or tied to something that's out of control. The word picture is fascinating, and for us out west, it kind of just tells us or reminds us of things that we've seen in Western movies or whatever, that the word distraction, the picture that it paints is a man who has fallen off a horse, whose leg is still stuck to one of the stirrups as the horse is running. That's Martha. Have you ever felt like that in your life? Of course you have. With all the pressures of life, you are now so easily distracted. I have to tell you, I'm easily distracted. It's one of my great battles. I'm 50, I forget how old I am now, 50. All this time in my life, I would have thought by now that I would have figured myself out yet. And I'm wondering, you know, what kind of a person am I? I'll look out the window, I will daydream, and I can selectively remember anything that's going on around me. My brain takes pictures of stuff. I can tell you 10 years ago where we were standing someplace. I can tell you the street. It's freaky weird, but I can also tune out in a second and I can see your lips moving in my direction and I cannot hear a word you're saying. I had a mother that nagged a lot and I think I learned that. I'm not kidding. She would be going and going and going and it's like, and I don't know, at 5 years of age, I learned to just tune that out. And my mind goes somewhere else. Distracted. Heavily distracted. You say, well, I'm a very focused person. I'm this way and up. Man, that's awesome. I wish I were like you. But you know what? You still suffer this thing of distraction. Because the proof is, you can do this at home. You can go home, the most focused person in this sanctuary tonight. You can go home, you can pray, you can read your Bible, and I guarantee you, your mind will wander off to stupid things like this. When's the last time I changed the oil in my car? When you don't even do it, Jiffy Lube does it. Why are you even thinking that? You'll be distracted. The flesh will distract you. The Bible tells us, no doubt, Satan will distract us. But we will get our foot caught in that stirrup of activity and of urgency. Listen, it's a dangerous day, church, for all of us in America, because we have this sense of whatever's urgent has got to happen now. And listen, we always throw out what's important because something urgent pops up. Don't let something important go out the window when urgency raises its ugly head. And it's loud, and it gets all the attention, and we usually respond to it first, and important stuff suffers. When we take each other for granted, that's what happens. Urgent things, constantly. Listen, for those of you who are married, when's the last time you had a date? Well, a date? What? I'm too busy to have a date. That's my point. All this urgent stuff, you've got to fight this. You want to identify the distractions. They will tug on you. They'll grab you and they'll lead you down the path as your foot is hooked to that stirrup of that horse. Distractions generate confusion. There's no doubt about it. Is your life confused? Is your life a confusing force or power? Confusion leads to worry. Distractions result in missed opportunities. When we're distracted, we'll start out one way. Oh yeah, I have to take care of this thing. I got to do this thing. And something will distract us and we'll get off the course of it. Now that might be okay. We can live like that if it's some shopping list we're supposed to go fulfill or some errand we're supposed to run. But church, listen, distractions, I believe, is one of Satan's key ways of keeping you and I out of a very, very warm and continuous, healthy relationship with Jesus. If he can get us sterilized with distractions and all this stuff pressing in against us, then I think he wins. And so, that latter end of verse 40 says, and she approached Jesus. Okay, she's distracted with many things. She's upset. And it says, and she approached Jesus. And I thought about that. The word is that she came to him. She wasn't like sauntering about or meandering. She came with a purpose. She is coming at him like a battleship. She's underway. And so she comes to him and she says, Lord. Number one, watch. Do you not care? She just attacks him. That's an attack. Don't you care? When we are in that place of distraction and we let it get the best of us, these are the kind of words that come out of our mouths. And so, don't you care? She is attacking him, accusing him of not caring, saying that my sister has left all this to me alone to do. Therefore, number two, tell her to help me. I'm commanding you, Lord. Well, that's an oxymoron. You can't put those two things together. Yes, I know you're the Lord, but I'm telling you what to do. And here's what I want done. You tell my sister to help me now. Wow. You got to love Martha, but she's out of control. And Martha's attitude, listen, Martha's attitude is determining her altitude. And right now she's flying pretty low. And so what are the things in your life that tug on you? Only you know this. It's just that thing or things. Well, apply this to the tug. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord. Now I want to define this in a moment. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, and don't fret. Now, here's the thing. The person who is doing this okay goes, praise the Lord, great verse. The person who needs this verse the most is the person that's saying, easy for you to say, what are you, some kind of a dope? That's ridiculous. That's what happens to a distracted person. A distracted person. There are people who it's not that big of an issue in their life, and they'll get it and they'll go with it. And then there's the distracted person, and I'm here to tell you, the distracted person's got to work twice as hard to keep up with you guys who get it easily. Rest in the Lord. Those of you who have a tendency to fret. This is never going to work. Oh my goodness, it's not going to happen. Wait, rest in the Lord. Secondly, wait patiently for him. I was talking to somebody on the phone yesterday, and the guy said, man, I tell you, I couldn't believe that this thing took that long, and this took that long, and we had this kind of problem. And quite frankly, Pastor, I thought you were nuts when you said, let's just wait on the Lord. And I just bit my lip, and I wanted to say to you, Pastor, but I just kept it in my mouth, you dope, don't you realize we got to do this now? But it was outside of anyone's power to do. You either choose to wait on the Lord and rest in him, and he'll take care of it, he really will, or you can bite your fingernails, get an ulcer, and freak out about it, and it doesn't change anything. And again, tonight, I can feel it in the room. The person who is almost comfortable worrying and fretting says, oh yeah, right. And yet you're the very one who needs to hear this tonight. You are distracted about many things.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Discipline of Distraction. In other words, disciplining ourselves not to allow those tasks and deadlines that keep us from the deeper things of the Almighty. The Discipline of Distraction is part of Pastor Jack's Disciplines of Life series, of which we'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, the Disciplines of Life series was delivered by Pastor Jack on Wednesday nights and concluded earlier this year. And so, speaking of Wednesday nights, we bring you this invitation.
This is David Jay with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel of Chino Hills. And there's something real exciting going on Wednesday nights around here. Pastor Jack, I was just pulling into the parking lot here at the church to get together with you, and I noticed a big vinyl sign on the side of the building. It said, well, it had a hot button word on the sign. It said worldview. Tell me what's going on around here.
It's the worldview series. That's what's out there, and that's what's happening here at Calvary right now on Wednesday nights. And we've had our first gathering together on the topic, introduction to the worldview series, and frankly, it went extremely well. We saw people, in fact, first-time visitors from the local university, and they couldn't believe what they were hearing. And that's exactly what we want to achieve.
Well, worldview is kind of a buzzword, isn't it? It's a popular word that carries a whole lot of meaning, especially for Christians. Tell me about the Wednesday night series here at Calvary Chino Hills.
Worldview series, the term worldview has gotten very popular in the church in the last 5 to 7 years, because what it means is the word is rooted actually in the Germanic language. It means to look at your world around you, to observe and to conclude or to establish a life or a decision based upon the world you live in. Worldview means that you conduct yourself, you think in such a way, and you act out your life based upon what and how you view the world around you.
All right, I'm going to cheat a little bit because as you and I were chatting before we fired up the microphones, you were saying that we as Christians need to understand that we need to make our decisions using the Bible as our filter, if you will.
Yeah, there's a temptation, and I think it has reached, in my opinion, epidemic proportions in the church today where people will bifurcate their lives. What I mean by that is they'll go to church on Sunday. Right. It's all Jesus. Yeah. It's all God. It's wonderful for an hour and a half.
Right.
But come Sunday afternoon or Monday morning or Thursday night, there is this division. Far too many people today think that they can be following Jesus for an hour and a half a week, right, and leave him out the rest of their days and the rest of their life. And that's not the case. To have a biblical worldview is to include the doctrines of the Bible, the teachings of the Bible, the Holy Spirit who's at work in your life in every moment of your life, that he wants to be the Lord of all.
Okay, so for example, with our presidential election going on right now, the first thought in my mind is, what do I think? But what you're saying as a Christian that I should be thinking, what does the Bible say about my thinking or the way I should be thinking?
Exactly. There is no such division in the Christian's life that there's some area that is sacred or secular. Not for the Christian.
I see.
The Christian is to be engaged in all aspects of life because, for example, a politician might declare that abortion is a political issue.
Right.
Well, my Bible teaches me it's a spiritual issue.
I get it.
A politician might declare that marriage now is a political issue. No, no, no. My Bible says that that is a spiritual issue. All of these things affect three things. Number one, it affects the political, it affects the moral,
right,
and it affects the religious aspects of our lives. The Christian is to live his Christianity out in all areas. You know, Paul made that very clear in Acts chapter 17 when he came to Athens, Greece,
right, uh-huh,
recognized that the Greeks were worshiping all these gods that they knew of, but they had a pedestal set up to the unknown God. And Paul used that opportunity to insert there to the way that the Athenians thought that this God that you've missed is the God who is inserting his life. In fact, in verse 28, he says that it is this God in whom we live, we move, and have our being. This is the total encasement of the Christian life by the Word of God, the Bible, the activity and works of the Holy Spirit, engaging the culture through the believer. That's the moment that you and I are alive, David. That's what God would have us to do.
Look, I raise my hand to plead guilty, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do too. I don't necessarily default to a Christian worldview consciously or subconsciously for that matter. And in this series, what you're saying is, let's get to that point where we govern our lives with the biblical worldview.
You got it. There should be no area in which the Christian, frankly, would be ignorant about.
Pastor Jack, I've seen you excited in the past. You're excited about this, aren't you?
I'm excited about this because I love practical Christianity.
Right, right.
And so because of that, this series, you know, Davey, I tell you, four young men came up to me in the courtyard just the other night after the teaching. They're on a class project. They came to interview the pastor of some church, whatever church they could find that's close to the house, they would go. Well, lo and behold, the topic in the event, the evening, so challenged their way of thinking that frankly, we stood out in the courtyard and talked for a good period of time. They were dumbfounded that Christianity could be this practical. And I love that.
I love that too, Pastor Jack. And you and our listening audience, you're going to love it too. So here's the deal. Here's the invitation for you. We would love to have you join us for this life-changing worldview series, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock Pacific. Join us on the web for the live broadcast on hischannel.com. That's 7 o'clock Pacific, Wednesday nights on hischannel.com. You can also watch the series at your own pace at our website, calvaryCCH.org. Click on Media and then on the Media Center. So there you have it. We'd be honored if you'd join us on the web for the live teaching at hischannel.com, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock Pacific, or catch the Worldview series when you can at calvaryCCH.org. Don't miss it. That's calvaryCCH.org.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.